So all women, do I have your ears? March 23rd and 24th, we are having a one-night women's retreat. And it's going to be held out at Springbrook in the old army barracks. And they actually look better on the inside than on the outside, I promise. But it's pretty appropriate because we are the part of the army of God, aren't we? So we do need you to register because we need to get a number in because there will be two meals that are catered. So we need to get the numbers in. And the cost is $56. And if you can't afford all of that, whatever you can afford is wonderful. And there will be a couple of sponsorships. Do we hand these out now or should we just do it after? Anyway, we'll just put them in the back, and then people can grab them on the way out. But don't forget, we do need the registrations, and we're going. The topic is hearing God, so we're going to learn to be more in tune with what God is saying to us in to us personally and as corporately.
Okay, that's a way better. Now I can just talk the way I normally talk. That's so much better. I was thinking, you know, that guy back there, he doesn't want to hear me. I'll start again. Where was I? No. A miracle can happen. I mean, we come for that reason. Look at Mal. Mal and Earl are here, and the prayers that have been offered for Mal, and the surgery that she went through in January, and the doctor saying, this is a miracle. This should not have happened. That's where I want to live. Amen? That's where I want to live. Yeah, thank you, God. We struggle sometimes with people who let us down, right? We struggle with people who are in addiction and they lie to us or they try to manipulate us or they're just not ready to get clean. It doesn't matter. You know, we can't fix people, but God can save them. God can save them, and he keeps doing that. He keeps doing that work. And we're testifying to that today. God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul cries out to you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. In a dry and a weary land where there is no water. I just want to lay that foundation together today. Right now, I just want to lay that foundation down and encourage you not to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is good. God's got a great plan. God's not done. He's got so much he wants to do. I'm going to open up the word here in a moment. There are a couple other just kind of quick announcements. I don't want it to break the flow of the Spirit here, so just kind of listen in the Spirit. I think there's a way of doing that. The thrift store is really going marvelously well. We are looking for some help on Wednesday when we're going to do another big cleanup. On Monday, we're going to be having all the exhaust ducts cleaned out, so there'll be some dust. But after that, after Wednesday, we get to start putting things on the shelves. So that's really cool. That's really cool. So you can talk to Robin. Robin is there pretty much every day, and she can help you organize. She's not here right now. I think she's not feeling well, but she'll be there on Monday or Tuesday, and you can get a hold of her, and she'll help you if you want to come as a volunteer. But I invite you all to come on Wednesday if you can. Come and bring your cleaning supplies. Let's clean that place up again. So that has to do with Renew, the thrift store. And we're really praying that that name becomes just symptomatic of what's going to happen downtown, in the churches, and in the lives of so many people. There's going to be real renewal, you know, a filling in of the Holy Spirit, a changing of people's lives. That's exciting. And then just so you know, next Sunday after church, we have a potluck, and our fearless leader, Dawn, is going to bring the State of the Union address. So we have to have one meeting every year. We haven't done this very well. But by our society rules and our church rules, we have to have a meeting. So we're going to have a meeting, and Don's going to share some of the great things. There's a lot of things to celebrate, and there's a lot of good things. So we want to just spend a little time. Bring your food next week. Let's have a meal together right after church. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles today to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me set the stage for this a little bit. This is back in the days, this is after David was king. So this happens during the days of King Ahab, who was the 7th king of Israel. And Ahab was known as being a particularly bad king. He was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And his wife Jezebel, if anything, was even eviler. That's why when you call someone a Jezebel nowadays, it's not a really much of a compliment. She kind of wrecked that name. She ruined that name for all the Jezebels to come after her. So this happens around 850 before Christ. And it's a story of when the Israelites were living in rebellion and when they were living in idolatry. And particularly the god of Baal. They worshiped the god of Baal. And they bowed down to the god of Baal. They wanted nothing to do with Yahweh. Wanted nothing to do with Jehovah God. They were following other gods. And just prior to the story I'm going to read is we have this story of the showdown of the gods, where Elijah the prophet stands before Ahab and all the prophets of Baal, and he says, okay, you want to see who the real God is here? Let's have a showdown. Let's see which God actually shows up. And what we'll do is we'll put our altar on the altar, we'll put our sacrifices. And we'll see which one gets burnt up from heaven. So the prophets of Baal, they put their offerings on the altar, and they dance around it, and they're cutting themselves, and they're doing everything they can to get their God's attention. But nothing happens. The fire doesn't come down, and the meat on the offering just stays there. And then Elijah says, okay, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. I want to show you what my God can do. I want you to see how powerful my God is. I want you to know that my God hears my prayers when I cry out to him. And this is who Elijah was. I want you to know that when I say to God, burn up the offering, he will burn up the offering. But, he said, before I do that, let's pour a bunch of water on it. So they take all these cisterns, which I'm guessing are about 5 gallons of water, like 5 of them, pour them all over the altar, all over the wood, all over the meat. And then Elijah stands back and he says, okay, God, here you go. Show us. Oh God, show us that you are the Lord and that you will show the people, he says two things, that you are God and that you will turn the people's hearts back to you, oh God. Isn't that amazing? And of course, you know what happens. Whew! Fire comes down from heaven and it smokes. It smokes up the sacrifice. And God says, in doing so, I am your God. And I do hear you. And I answer you. And I will do whatever I say I will do. I am faithful. Amen? Yeah. Let's give him a big hand. It's true. You can clap for that. We can celebrate the faithfulness of God. I am faithful. I'm with you to the end. And I hear your prayers. And there's hope. So then just immediately after that happens, I'm going to start reading verse 36. So right after that sacrifice, here we read that the next chapter or the next little story in the series, in the chronology of these stories, where we read this. At that time, the sacrifice that the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Did you see those two things again? That they're going to know, all these people are going to know that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back to you, O God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the soil, and it also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, all the people fell prostrate. And they cried. And I love this cry. This is a proclamation. This is a confession. They got on their knees and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. This is the part that gets into like PG-14, but it's okay. Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and he slaughtered them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, now go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. That's the mountain. He bent down on his knees, and he put his face between his knees. And he prayed and he worshiped. We're going to stop there. I promise you, if you come next week, I'm going to come next week. And I'm going to finish the story, or at least carry on with the story next week, okay? But there's only so much we can handle. And for today, it's just the part that we read, particularly about how Elijah stands before God and he says to God, God, I just need you to show me who you are. God, I want to know that you're real. You guys ever feel that way before? I'm kind of tired of doubting this and wondering about it. God, come on, will you just do something great? I've prayed that prayer before. And I feel a little bit... kind of relieved, I guess, that in this particular story, one of the first things that we hear that Elijah says is he cries out to God and he says one word two times. He says, answer me. Answer me, God. I feel better about that because I pray that prayer a lot too. Come on, God, answer me. Answer me, oh Lord. I'm crying out to you. I'm trying to live obediently. I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do, but sometimes it seems like nothing is happening around here, and everything still seems lost. So answer me, God, what do you want? What are you doing in my life? What are you doing in this ministry? What are you doing in my family? When I was a younger father, and I had little kids, and they wouldn't listen to me, and they were, I know this is a big surprise about my kids, but you know, they would wander off, or they'd be thinking other things. I would take them and I'd hold them by the chin and I says, listen, look in my eyes. Are you looking in my eyes? Are you watching Daddy's lips? Okay, now watch my lips, right? I know we shouldn't do that to God, but sometimes it feels like I just wanna have a face-to-face with God. I want him to know where my heart is. I want to say, God, answer me. Because I'm trying here, God. I'm seeking your face. And I want to see more results. I want to see more signs and wonders. I want to see the changes in people's lives and hearts. I want to see you grow your kingdom. Not my kingdom. Well, I want to see you grow your kingdom, God. Answer me. And I love what Elijah actually prays, the two things that he says. You can't go wrong. If you're wondering sometimes, what should I pray about? Here's two things you can pray about. You'll never go wrong. That you, O Lord, that they know that you are God. and that you will turn their hearts back to you. Isn't that a good prayer? God, that all of these people, I'm not talking about you guys, not most of you anyways, but most of those people we work with all the time, most of those folks who come into the kitchen, most of the people that maybe you know out there in jobs or whatever you're doing, man, that's a great prayer for them. God, if you would just show them that you are God, you reveal yourself because you're the great revealer, and that you will turn their hearts back to you so that they will believe. Because no matter what I do, and here's the real truth, no matter what I do, I can't convince people of any of that stuff. It isn't about a logical argument. It isn't about me being rational. All I can ever do is tell my story. But you, oh Lord, you can do so much more than that. God, show them that you are God and turn their hearts back to you. Can you say that with me? I'll say it first. Show them, Lord, that you are God and turn their hearts back to you. Okay, we did pretty good there. I think we can do it even better. Because I think this is the best prayer. Like, this is where we got to be. Show them, Lord, that you are God. And turn their hearts back to you. Amen? Show them, Lord, that you are God. And turn their hearts back to you. Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah. And that may be the most important thing we did today. You know, making it our prayer. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that same dryness that Elijah was dealing with, and remember, I don't think I said this, but it was a number of years that there hadn't been any rain or dew, it says. No rain or dew. There was a dryness in the land. And I believe that we have a dryness in the land where we live in today too. There is a real dryness. You know, I can give you hundreds of examples from kids shooting kids every single day and killing kids in high schools and in elementary schools. I can give you that to the fight that we're having on the streets, to the hunger in this world, to the brokenness in the family. Just think of the family and the dryness that's happened in the family, in our world, and in our culture in the last number of years. I could go on this, but there's other things that are more important I want to teach on, because I think you already know that. I don't think I need to convince you of this. But I'm just making a statement today, and we can all just kind of affirm this, that we live in a very dry land. We live in a place like at the time of Ahab, where the people have turned their back on the living God. People do not believe in the resurrected Christ. And they're not living for Jesus. They're living for whatever it is, all the money they can make, all the drugs they can use, all the fun they can have, all the TV they can watch, whatever it is, they're doing something other than following the idolatry. Let me tell you, the idolatry in this country equals or surpasses the idolatry that was happening in the time of Ahab and Elijah. There's great idolatry. There's great idolatry. Men and women and children are bowing down to all manner of gods, all kinds of gods. And God is standing there going, well, what about me? What about me? There's a dryness. There's such a parched dryness. There's a drought in this land. There's death. There's divorce. There's disaster. Think of all the disasters and destruction. There's disease. And those are just the D words. I can think of a whole lot more. And it just, you know what happens is that we need to come back to God. We need to lead these people back to God. We have the answer. We have the hope. I have Christ in me. And the New Testament says, the hope of God, Christ in me. If I have Jesus in me, then it needs to get out there so that some of those people out there will see it and they'll turn to Jesus and they'll realize that they're just living in a wasteland. I quoted Psalm 63 before. Do you still have that on there? Can you put that on? Psalm 63. My God, David said, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Yeah. Anyone else? You can relate to that, though? I know. We have the word, and we have some. We're not living there. We're not living in that parched place. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we have this really dry, dead church here. I'm not saying that. I'm glad we don't. But I'm saying here's what the world is like. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. And I think if we're honest this morning, we will all give affirmation to that and say, yep, that's the world we live in. It is so broken. It is so parched. It's kind of like, you know, when you're on that desert and it's been so long, there hasn't been any water in that desert ground for so long, and the cracks are half an inch thick, and they just kind of go all over the place. That's how it sometimes feels in my life, not my personal life, but in the life where I'm dealing with all kinds of things going on around me. And I know that's true for a lot of you too. And that, and here's a really important line. Everyone listening? That is why, you're listening, right? That is why we need Jesus. That is why we need Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. I don't have any hope. I don't have any message. I don't have any gospel. I have nothing to offer anybody apart from Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what we've got. And we're excited about this. Maybe you came in here today, why are these people singing and raising their hands and clapping and praising God? It's because of Jesus. And it's only because of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You are my life. He's alive. He's my resurrected King. Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. All right. I think you're awake. That's good. Jesus said, I am the water of life. Right? You got John 4 there? Tim? Jesus said, I am the water of life. Anyone who comes to me will never, he said, whoever drinks this water will never be thirsty again. Right? How's the rest of it go, Doug? Amen. Okay. See, you got to be ready around here because I might just point at you and say, what is that scripture? So he will give you a perpetual spring of life, a perpetual spring of life that will spring up to eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When I say amen, that doesn't mean it's the end of the sermon. We're not even close. Okay. So that's the key thing, though, is that the message we bring is about Jesus and that he's the only one who can bring water to this parched earth. He's the only one who can bring life where there's death. He's the only one who can bring, you know, where the fruit can actually start growing again. And without Christ, it's all parched. Amen? Now, one of the things that's particularly striking about this story that we read today about Elijah that I find intriguing and where I am in awe of this man's faith is when he says this. He says, and this is after all this has happened, he says in verse 41, that Elijah is, we're going to just spend a little time on this here, guys. Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. There was no rain anywhere near. Not yet. Because we'll read the story next week. But he says to Elijah, you go and eat. You better drink because you're going to need your strength, buddy. Because there is the sound of heavy rain. Don't you like that verse? There is the sound of heavy rain. Remember that the rain had not poured out for years and years. There was no moisture. There was no crop. And remember, too, you might not know this, but the prophets of Baal, the god Baal, was the god of fertility and the god of rain. Isn't that interesting? Baal was the god of rain, and the rain never came. The rain never poured out. There was no dew. But now Elijah stands in faith, and here's what we need to see, just the faith. He stands in faith, and he says, there's the sound of heavy rain. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to be able to stand before you this morning and say, you know what, God is, he's not only, he's doing some amazing things, but this is only the splat, the first couple drops. That's kind of the picture I got from God this week. You ever have that before where you know a big storm is coming and you're on a porch and I just got this kind of picture and you get that one first initial raindrop and it just kind of comes like it's mad at you or something. It makes a splatting noise Right? That's the picture that God gave me. It's splatting. It's coming hard, but this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. Yeah. Listen to the sound. Here comes the heavy rain. And this is important for all of us. Some of you, you've been waiting for this rain. There's been a real dryness in your life. There's been brokenness. There's been anger. There's been marriages that are struggling. There have been addictions that you haven't been able to get over. There's been worries and fears. I just want to tell you today that beyond any shadow of a doubt, God is still faithful to his promises. He has not given up on the dreams that he's given you. And the rain, the heavy rain, can be heard if you listen carefully. Now you got to understand how hard that, I just understand how hard that must have been for Elijah to come and make that stand and say, you know, here's the sound of heavy rain when there was no sound of heavy rain. It's hard to make that proclamation. It's hard to speak faith out loud. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe you don't struggle with that, but I do. There's things that I've sometimes said out loud, and I go, man, I shouldn't have said that. I would have been a lot safer if I wouldn't have said that. Should never have talked about the Dream Center. What if it doesn't happen? I'm going to tell you that the enemy sows those seeds of doubt in my heart. He does. There's times I lay awake at night or the thrift store, and I go, oh, my goodness, what are we doing here? And the doubt and the fear starts to come. I'm sorry if I've blown your image. You think I've got my act all together. I don't. Sometimes I put on a good show, but it isn't true. And that doubt sometimes comes up against me. And I know that it's a lot easier, and this is true in your life too, it's a lot easier for us not to speak out in faith. Not to listen to the dream, not to hear God. And really, it's the Holy Spirit. This is all about the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit is directing me, and he's giving me a dream, or he's moving me in a new direction, there's a big part of me that goes, okay, well, you go ahead and do it and just call me back. Call me when you're done. But for me to be involved in it is scary because it puts myself out there and there's always the risk that someone's going to say, well, what an idiot you were. Right? What a fool. Boy, he just didn't listen at all. He didn't know what he was doing. Look at what they lost. Look what he lost. Right? And I'm just telling you the truth here. Here's the truth is, and it's not just me, it's you, that when we step out in faith and we speak in faith, there's a risk involved, but it isn't faith if there isn't a risk. If it's all figured out, if it's all paid for ahead of time, if it's already done, if God's already done it, he doesn't need you to put faith in it. He doesn't. And I would rather, and I've come at this point in my life, I would rather take the risk. I'd rather be accused of being an idiot or a fool or whatever it is down the road. I'd rather be found obedient, even if it doesn't work out the way I dream it or the way I hope it's going to work out. I would rather do that than to sit back and do nothing out of fear or out of doubt. And I believe that you're in the same boat. I believe that we're here together because we feel the same thing. And ultimately, you know, God said, here's a word he gave me this week too. It was just two words. Because I was sort of saying this stuff to God, going, God, what about this and what about that? And, you know, this stuff is worrisome. And he said two words. Here they are, and they're for you too. Who, that's the first word, cares? Who cares? What do you care? Well, God, what if they think this about me? What about popular opinion? What about this? Who cares? Who cares? It don't matter. It don't matter. The only thing that matters is what God cares. The only matters is what God's Spirit tells me and tells you to do. The only thing that matters is the dream that he gives us and that we're faithful to it. And I can promise you this, that nothing will ever happen. Nothing will ever happen if we don't step out in faith. Nothing. And I don't want to live there. I lived there for a lot of years. I grew up in that church. I was raised in that seminary. I went to seminary for 7 years. I learned all about being safe. I know how to be safe. But that's not what he calls us to do. What he calls us to do is speak out. And I mean literally to speak it out, to make it public sometimes, to say things that you wonder what your mouth even said after you've said it. And that's what Elijah did. That's what Elijah did. He said, hey, there's the sound of heavy rain. There's the sound of heavy rain. I love that. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. The Bible says a lot of things about this. Jesus said, I'm just going to go from memory here. It might not be exactly perfect, but Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, then you will speak to the mountain. You will say to the mountain, get thrown into the heart of the sea, and it will do exactly. You'll receive exactly what you ask, right? But you need to speak to it, though. You need to speak to the mountain, and I'm afraid we have not been very good at speaking to the mountain. The mountain, for me, it might be a mountain of doubt or a mountain of fear. And you got your own mountain. Maybe it's anger or maybe it's an addiction or whatever that mountain is. And what the Bible literally says is that we need to speak to it. Not just pray about it or have other people pray over us, but speak to it. I speak to you, fear, in the name of Jesus, that you must leave me right now. And I will not live by your accusing voice anymore. That's what we do. Amen. Did you hear that? Yeah. That was the sound. That was the sound of a mighty rain. Yeah. Right? We learn to speak to fear. We learn to speak to depression. I speak to depression. You no longer get to leave me in the darkness. You no longer get to leave me in the gloom and the doom. I am going to rise from this because I have resurrection power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's the sound of mighty rain. That's a sound of mighty rain. But we don't do this. Let's start doing it. That's what I'm saying. Let's start doing it.
That's right.
We speak to wherever the enemy has a foothold, wherever he attacks us, wherever he tries to tempt us or accuse us. We speak to him and say, you get behind me, Satan. And I'm not asking. I'm not asking you to get behind me. I am telling you to get behind me. Because I am resisting the devil, and he will flee from me. That's a promise. And that is the sound of mighty rain. You hear it? We need to do that. The Bible says that God did this. So maybe this is a good example. When he made light, he said, let there be light. He created by speaking into being. It doesn't say in Genesis that he wanted to make light, so he flipped the switch on. Or he just imagined in his mind light, 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 and it turned into light. That's not what it says. It says, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And I'm saying that because this is kind of it's not really a new revelation, but I don't preach on this much. You can count on me preaching on it more in times to come, because God is moving me to say, you know what? We need to start speaking. We need to start understanding there's power in the word. There's power in the word that the enemy has to listen, and we need to speak it out loud, and we need to say it with confidence and with authority because we've been given that authority. We're told in Romans chapter 4 that it is God who brings life out of death. He brings life out of death, and he calls that which is not as though it is. That's what I'm talking about. Are you following this? That stuff in your life that it seems like it is not. There's no way. You got that no way thing going. I'm never going to overcome this. I'm never going to be popular. I'm never going to be done with this shame. That's a lie. Because God, who lives in you, calls that which is not as though it is. It exists now because he says it does. Amen? That's good. That's so good. But we got to learn to use our voice. And to speak it out loud. In John chapter 1, the very first part of John, we're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Jesus is actually Word, God, but also Word, right? So how powerful is that? That when we speak, that Jesus, the name for Jesus, Logos, how Logos and Arche, it says in the Greek, that the Logos, the Word, is Jesus. that we need to speak the word. Jesus is the word. Do you follow? Does that make a connection? Does that make sense? And maybe some days there isn't anything else you can do but just say Jesus. I've had days like that, man. I have no words. I got nothing but tears, and I don't know any answers. I don't even know how to pray anymore. And you just say Jesus, 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 and the enemy flees. He has to flee. This is a little aside, but in Psalm 44, I was just reading this morning. In Psalm 44, this is a bonus, by the way. You don't get charged for this. In Psalm 44, it says this. And this is, there's someone here today who needs to hear this. He says, my disgrace is before me all day long. I'm reading in verse 15 if you want to see it later. My face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach me and those who revile me because of the enemy. Now get this part. The enemy, and you're talking about Satan, who is bent on revenge. Wow. That hit me this morning, that Satan is bent on revenge. Someone keeps asking me, I got a friend who's an alcoholic, and he's just always drinking. He never seems to be able to beat it, and often he'll come to me, he says, why won't that, and he usually uses a swear word, why won't that guy leave me alone? And maybe you're feeling that way today too. The answer is, very simply, because your enemy is bent on revenge. He knows he's lost. He knows he's defeated. And he is not happy about it. He is not pleased at all about his eternal destiny. He's not at all pleased about the way and the strategy that he used that was a total failure. He's not pleased at it all. And some days, the only thing you've got left is you stand back and you go, this is because he is bent on revenge against me. And that's okay. Knowing that helps. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. And even though, and this is probably true for all of us, we lose some battles sometimes along the way. We lose some battles. We don't always win. Once in a while, we give in to a temptation that we wish we wouldn't have given in to, or we get disappointed with somebody, or whatever it is. We don't lose the war. We never lose the war. Because the war, the battle, the victory has been won through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, I want to encourage you today to think about, you need that on now, okay, whenever you can. Think about that word, that one line that says, there is the sound of a mighty rain. There is the sound of a great rain. Let's just take a minute. Because we're asking God this morning, right now. And there is the sound of rain. I want you to hear it. We're asking God this morning, what is it that you want me to hear? Oh God. What do you want me to speak out today? Just close your eyes. We're going to soak in this rain for a bit here. Oh God. There's the sound of mighty rain. There is the sound of hope. There is the sound again that you are. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray right now, in the name of Jesus, against the powers of the enemy, against his tricky ways, against the ways he attacks us. And we are so thankful this morning that you remind us that greater is he who's in me than the one who's in the world. God, I pray for each of us this morning as we think about your word and as your word absorbs our heart and as we're reminded that just as the rain is coming, you're going to come. You're going to come in the clouds. Thank you, Jesus. Just right now, God, just touch our hearts. Touch us with that thing that we've been struggling with. That thing that's broken, that thing that keeps nagging, that way that the enemy tries to keep us under his thumb, when the reality is that he is under my heel. And I pray, God, that right now as we pray and as we just open ourselves to you, that you will bring it to mind, each one of us, what we need to stand up and speak out loud today. What do I need to stand up and proclaim? You say that if I acknowledge you before heaven, you're going to acknowledge me. If I acknowledge you before man, you'll acknowledge me before God. That's what you say. So God, just bring it to mind. What do I need to confess? What do I need to have dealt with today? I'm just going to take a minute and think. And let the Spirit of God speak. Open the storehouses of heaven. We're going to do something now, just going to seem a little bit weird, but if this is true, you know, you got to kind of, you listen to what I was preaching about this morning, you're either going to walk away from here going, I think that's all garbage, or you're going to say, no, I think that's true. I think this is really what the Bible says, and that we should speak words of faith, and that Jesus is the word, and that there's really much power when we speak it out loud. So if that's true, then I'm obliged to ask you to be a part of this. So I'm going to open this up for a few minutes, And I'm going to ask you, if there's something that came on your heart, you know, you're saying, I got to stand up against something. I got to speak this out loud. It's nice and well to think that in your head, and then you go home. We don't ever do it. We're going to get an opportunity to say something today. And these aren't going to be long things, but just where you get a chance to stand up and you say, like I have said today, so I've used myself as an example. I speak against the mountain of doubt. And I speak against the mountain of fear and the mountain of popular opinion that's in my life. And I say, who cares? I don't care anymore. The mountain, I speak to the mountain and I cast it into the heart of the sea. Because God said I can do that. Who's next? Okay, Terry,
I speak
loud. Turn around. There we go.
I speak to the mountain in my life of control. So I've been under that control for many years because of my mother's.
Yep.
And it's a generational thing passed down. So I like to be in control. So I speak to that mountain and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. And also, I have a love for this money that really needs to be taken care of. So I cast that out.
Yes, God.
And I cast it back into the sea of forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
And remove it out of my life.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are you up? Don, speak loudly. I want to hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I receive that. I receive that. Thank you, God. My daughter-in-law's name is Lane, and she didn't ever grow up in a church, but she's starting to get more and more of a hunger for him and for Jesus. So thank you for that. Don.
All to him I owe, sit in that place that crimson stain, but be washed.
White as snow.
So all of what you have done wrong, all the sins have been forgiven, right?
Yeah.
All of it. Past, present.
Amen. So that would be the mountain of condemnation. And there's some people who have that mountain of condemnation. You keep adding on to it. This little pile gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And Don is reminding you that there's no condemnation. Someone else has their hand. Who?
Amen.
Joyce, that's who you mean?
Is that my name today?
Did I call you something different?
No. While we were doing that, the Lord spoke to me. He said, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Because I've been timid and we prayed last week of what holds me back.
Yeah.
I get to a place and it's like a wall that just holds me back. And I've been praying this week in timidity. I'm afraid to step out and speak while I speak in almost anger and frustrated. But God has taken that away that I can speak Jesus just in a conversation and speak against the things that so subtly stop us from being there with Jesus.
Okay.
So be careful.
Yeah. Do it. You know what? Speak right now. Right now, speak to fear and timidity and say, get out.
I speak to fear. Say, get out.
Darth, and then Jody, and then go ahead.
I speak to the mountain of pride and the mountain of cigarettes in my life.
Yep.
I tell them to get out.
Get out. In Jesus' name. That we speak those words. Jody. Get out. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone over here had their hands up. Jason. I've got you. I've got your family. Yeah. So that's doubt, right? We speak to doubt. Do it. Speak to doubt. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. No more doubt. Don't need a doubt. Sam?
Speak to the spirit of addiction that's on the generations of our family. The spirit of death.
Amen. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We release the grip. We speak it out loud. We release the grip of the enemy on the neck of so many people who are addicted out there. And we say, you must let them go in Jesus' name. Because there's power in the spoken word, and the word is the flesh. The word is Jesus Christ. Amen? Sonny.
I speak to the spirit of miscommunication, where things are misinterpreted or things are misunderstood, and have clarity to the Holy Spirit.
Confusion. Yep. Speak to confusion. No more confusion. We're going to live in harmony, and we drive the enemy out. We resist him, and he does flee. He is flee. Right now, if you could see in the spiritual realms, this is exactly what he does not want us to do. This is not what he wants us to do. You going to go? Stand up. You're going to go with your hands up or not. Sorry about that, Damien. I can just feel God all over you.
And the mountain of judgment that we all are shown upon everyone, and I cast it out.
Amen.
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Woo! Amen. The mountain of addiction and the mountain of judgment. Well, that's powerful. First Sherry, then you. Yes, amen. Give him a big hand. That's good. Big hand. Thank you, God. As we're saying, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, God. First, and then Conrad.
Speak to the mountain of negativity and the word never, that I can never do it. And I speak to that, and I say no more in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Today we say ever, not never. Ever. He's ever with us. He's ever giving us power, and we have nothing but an access from him. Conrad. Loud. Yeah. Yep. Amen. That's good. Okay, Lena.
I speak to you the mountain of blue gluttony.
Okay, you got to say it again because people didn't hear that. I'll say it for you. The mountain of food gluttony. And some of you can do this. We can all put our hands up. We've done that before.
And I just cast you out in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm going to take that.
It's true, though. It's true. That's good. Well, I think it ties into the ever. You know, it's not never, it's ever. He's got great things in plan, you know, store for you and for many, you know, maybe all of us here. He wants to use us. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for us. He says, I've got so much that I want you to do, and I choose to do it with you. I want you to do this with me because there's a great joy in building the kingdom of God. Not building man's kingdom, but building God's kingdom. I want you to be a part of the enterprise of building the kingdom of God. That's exciting. Woo! All right, now you had a turn already, so I'm going to give other people turns. Go ahead, Rob.
Speak against the spirit of apathy and indifference in God.
Yeah.
Speak against that and cast them to
Jesus. Yeah. Say, I cast you. Speak right to it.
I cast you, spirit of apathy and indifference, into the sea.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Michael.
I speak to the bottom of demonic
depression. Yep. Amen. Amen. No more oppression. No more does that thing. That thing doesn't get to stick to you anymore. It doesn't get to stick to you anymore. Mary Elise. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, that they may know that you are God and that you may turn their hearts back to you. Amen. There's that spirit of unbelief. When that spirit gets broken down, then they will know that he is God and they will know, right, that he has turned their hearts back to the Father. This is good. This is good. It's not just me that thinks this is good, is it? Come on. This is good. Anyone else? Okay, Sonny?
Yes, I speak against the word can't, because I can do all things to Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's good. And then someone was standing here. Anna.
I just want to cast out the spirit of sickness over my grandbaby.
Okay. Yes. We speak with you. In Jesus' name. Yep. Yes. That God's doing this. It's through the Spirit. Amen. We speak with you. We join in this. We join and we speak about health. We speak about vision. We speak that the enemy has no place in this little child's life. That this little boy belongs to this little boy, right? You're talking about, or the little girl? Okay, I thought it was maybe. Well, it's not now. Okay. It doesn't matter. That the enemy has no leverage and no position and can do nothing in this. And Gertie, I just feel like God wants you to pray about this. So you just come up here and pray. What's his name? Her name? Blakely. If you come close and we can share a mic, get kind of cozy.
Yeah.
So we speak this, right? We're speaking this in prayer now.
What's your name again?
Anna. Her name is Anna.
Now I know this one.
Oh, okay.
Father, we just come before you.
You guys just lift your hands to God.
Powerful name of Jesus. Thank Christ. You, Jesus. And we claim the healing Mighty. Power of Jesus over this little Blakely right now in your awesome, powerful name, Lord, that you have created her for life abundant, for life everlasting. And so we lift her up and we cast off the spirit of death, the spirit of blindness, the spirit of sickness, and the spirit, any spirit that the enemy would hold over in Jesus' name.
Speak it out.
Gone.
We speak it out in Jesus' name.
Be gone in Jesus' name.
There's a sound of a great rain. You hear it? You hear it? There's a sound of a mighty rain. There's a sound of a mighty rain. Hallelujah. Rob.
And it has to live. I heard before, but speaking to death. And it is the most negative thing. And it surrounds me. I don't have to submit it.
Thank you.
And I can hold that tightly. And I can hope that there's a better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. There's hope.
Yep. It's all finished. There is a better tomorrow.
So Robert, speak to hopelessness. Just speak directly to hopelessness. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 We're going to do one more. Earl, why don't you stand up? You, come here. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know there's more, I'm sorry, but what we did do is we did this together. We learned a little bit more about how to do this, and we're going to be committed, each one of us, to doing this regularly, speaking it out, knowing that there's power in the spoken word. If there was power in God's voice to say there is light, then there's also power in our voice to say there is light when there's darkness all around us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing that one song again. And just stand, because I've also asked Tola to pray. He didn't know this, so this is all sprung on him. But would you pray, brother?
You are the peel of our hopes, our lives. You are the peel of that holds our lives. Oh, Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds our lives. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds our lives. You are God alone.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for today, oh God. Thank you for your word that came forth. Thank you, Father, for your empowerment. Lord, thank you because you have said you have given us authority over principalities and powers, O God, to tread upon any serpent, O Lord. Father, we appreciate you because you have given us your word that the Bible says is sharper than any two-edged sword, O God, that it can pierce the heart of man, O God. Father, we thank you, O Lord, because your word is yea and amen.
Amen.
We thank you because when you speak your word, the Bible says it will not return back to you void.
Exactly.
It shall accomplish that which you have proposed, O God. And Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we stand upon the word of the Lord God Almighty that says, whatsoever we decree here on earth shall be established in heaven.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word, O God, that says whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, O Lord. We stand upon your word, O Lord, against every depression in this church. We stand upon your word, O Lord, against every spirit of fear in this church. We stand upon your word, O Lord, against every spirit of failure in this church. We stand upon your word, O Lord, against every spirit of poverty in this church. We stand upon your word, O Lord, against every sickness, against every illness, against everything that is not of you, O God. The Bible says every tree that the Lord has not planted shall be uprooted, O Lord. Father, we stand upon your word, O Lord, that says we are more than conqueror through Christ that lives in us, O God. And Lord God Almighty, we say, O Lord God, we shall live and not die in the name of Jesus. We cast out every unclean spirit, O God, in our lives, in this church, O God. We stand against them, O Lord, because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We know you are our rock. We know you are our shield. We know you are our fortress, O Lord, and you are on our side, Lord. And that is why we refuse everything that is not of you in our lives, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you because you will perfect your purpose in our lives. Thank you because you will do a new thing, O Lord. You will do a new thing, O Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Say amen. Woo. There's a sound. Sound of a mighty rain.